once again this week, joined by Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, Doctor, I know that you wanted to dive right into a bit of a controversy brewing here regarding CDC guidelines when it comes to contact tracing and testing when it comes to COVID-19.
Well, this is a very perplexing new recommendation from CDC that just came out a day or two ago. And it has people who are involved in epidemiology and virologists around the country really puzzled. What it says is that if you are a contact of someone who tested positive, but you yourself don't have any symptoms, you may not need to be tested. That is just nuts, frankly, and that's what all the scientists are saying, because we know that 40% of people are asymptomatic and that they can transmit the virus. So the real concern is this a political move? Hopefully it is not, but frankly, it really is a real disappointment coming from the CDC, and it's a major change from what they've said prior. Now, luckily, our state and our local health department are very clear that contacts of known positives are going to be tested, and our local health department here in Erie County offers the tests without cost.
And most certainly think that somebody who was had some contact with somebody with COVID-19 would want to be tested, but that, I guess that's a whole other issue there for sure. Bringing it, though, to our local health department and looking at some of the numbers that we're seeing, the Western region is most certainly trending higher than the rest of the state right now. Is there reason for concern with those numbers right now? I mean, is it time to perhaps maybe turn things back and shut things down? I know nobody wants to hear that.
Well, it's certainly a cause for caution, and I think we have to keep watching. Yes, we are the highest in the state, and we've had some clusters. We had one in Eden. We had one at a church here. We had one at a food processing company in the southern area of our region. But we really do have to be careful, because we're looking at K-12 schools reopening. And if our testing shows that we're above 5%, those schools are not going to be able to open. Now, I think that this is not a cause for panic. It's just something where we really have to be careful. And that goes back to the CDC change in the guidelines. Why in the world would you not test the people who are known contacts of a positive? It just doesn't make any sense, because testing and tracing is one of the big maneuvers that will save lives.
You know, Doctor, when we talk to you, I always feel like we get a lot of insight into some of the studies that are out there that, sometimes maybe you follow in the news, you might pick up on it, but other times you don't. Whatever the case, you also can bring some perspective to some of these studies. One takes a look at schools. We're all worried about schools and some perhaps successful attempts at opening schools in the United Kingdom, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us more about that.
Well, this is a really interesting brand new report that just came out of the UK. They shut down schools during the height of the epidemic, March, April, and May. And then they reopened some of them carefully during June and July. And there were 800,000 students involved and about 500,000 staff. So this is not a small sample. What they did is they reopened grades 1, 6, 10, and 12, and then they looked to see what happened with the cases. What they did is the students were not in as big classrooms as usual, and they were cohorted, so the same students were kept together, and they disinfected and used hygiene and so on. It was very interesting because there was very little evidence of either infection or any little cluster outbreaks. And actually, there were more cases in staff than in kids. And in most of the cases, particularly in the children, the cases came from the family rather than from the kids back to the family. So they're going to be reopening schools, and everybody's going to be watching the UK with interest. But this gives us real hope that when we do things regionally here, as we reopen schools, that we may be able to do it successfully. The key is, what is the infection rate in the region? And that's why where we started, looking at the positive numbers in our region, we do have to really be cautious about looking at this.
Another study that you've come across here is regarding something that you talk about every week since we started this, and this the necessity to wear a mask. And it's, you know, we see polls that say the majority of people are accepting the fact that they need to wear masks in the public. There's still a pretty notable minority, though, that is not in favor of wearing masks, and almost to the point of being passionate about it, I might add. What about what you're seeing in terms of some of these new research, these new pieces of research about masks?
The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the IHME, that most of us heard about early on from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx when we were having the almost daily press conferences. This is an institute, a research institute out of Seattle, that has done perhaps the most accurate predictive modeling. And what they have shown is if masking, wearing masks, became more widely employed, many, many thousands of people's lives would be saved. Now, I don't know how you can say it any clearer than that. So I think we have to really be careful about this. It has become political here, and that's terribly unfortunate. In our region, as schools reopen, the state ed department requires that students wear masks, but some K through 12 schools will not require the kids to wear masks in the classroom. That's a mistake. All of them should wear masks in the classroom based on the science.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, always appreciate your perspective, your insight into some of these studies, and as always, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure.